Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk pod. Oh, are you alright?
Yeah, I'm walking. Good.
Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me today is Houston Chronicle writer Aaron Wilson. Aaron, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
Great. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you very much. Looking forward to another Texans game this weekend. So let's dive straight into it. So let's start off, obviously, Detroit Lions this weekend. Are there any players you've seen on the Lions who you think are particularly dangerous going into this weekend that we really need to keep a close eye out on?
The Lions, I mean, you know, it's a preseason game, so I'm not expecting them to play most of their best players. So, no, I wouldn't really put a lot of stock in the matchup, per se. With preseason football, the opponent isn't really the important thing. It's more just how your players play together, handle situations. You're just evaluating your own talent. And there's a really low, I would say, low percentage of value in, you know, sort of schemes. And there's very little game planning. Like, if you look at what the Texans did in Green Bay, you'll notice, you know, that of course they didn't play a lot of the starters, and then they, you know, kept a lot of guys in a very vanilla game plan for the, you know, the entire time. They just didn't really run any, you know, real plays per se. And you had Joe Webb play the entire game. So yeah, I would just look for, you know, like how do rookies do, or evaluate, you know, key position battles, things like that. But yeah, to me, Anthony, no, I wouldn't really say, well, the Lions have this player, and, you know, and evaluate like a conventional game, no.
Absolutely. So one of the more interesting stories I heard this week was that apparently Matt Patricia, obviously Detroit Lions head coach, he yelled at JJ Watt after sacking Matt Stafford. I mean, were you there for this? Did you hear anything about this?
There wasn't a lot of buzz about it. It was just something where Patricia, who I think kind of annoyed people by riding around in his ATV. I know he's injured, but it's a little much. He should be on crutches or, you know, getting around in a golf cart or something, but it looks like he's driving a tank out there. It's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, I think he thought that JJ was getting too close to Stafford, but JJ barks back at him. You know, this is JJ's practice field that he's been practicing on and doing a great job on. And Patricia, I'll be honest with you, he's not too popular or respected around the league at this point. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, he didn't get along well with the Detroit media last year. He's off to a rough start in Detroit, so we'll see. I don't think, as far as guys that have done a lot in this game, J.J. Watt has, and Matt Patricia has a lot to prove.
Have to certainly keep a close eye on him this weekend then. So both J.J. and Merciless, by all accounts, have been very good against the Lions this week. What can you tell us about their performances so far, and do you think Merciless is on his way to returning to somewhere near his peak?
Well, yeah, J.J. Watt dominated Rick Wagner. I don't think Rick's a very good offensive tackle. They both went to Wisconsin, and J.J. seemed to enjoy embarrassing Rick a little bit out there on the field. And it was it seemed like he was flexing a little bit, showing what he's capable of, and it was just a huge difference. And then for Whitney, you know, Romeo Crennel said this week they're going to use him more like a pass rusher the way they did a few years back, so we'll see if his sack numbers go up, and obviously some of that will be impacted by Jadeveon Clowney when he reports. Do they trade him? All that sort of thing.
Well, certainly, obviously, that brings me on to Clowney. So, obviously, as we know, Twitter's been covered in rumors all week, some of it more credible than others, I'm sure. So what is your opinion on it at this point in time? Do you know anything about the situation?
Well, yeah, I know a lot about the situation. I wouldn't be reporting on the team. He was available. They shopped him to the Chiefs. Their phone is on if someone wants to call them. They will evaluate anything, but they're not just going to give him away. And one thing that I thought didn't even need really to be reported, the Miami Dolphins kind of did a back-channel inquiry about Jadeveon Clowney and decided that he's not a fit for them. The Dolphins, it's well-known around the industry, basically they're tanking. They're going to try to have one of the top quarterbacks in next year's draft. They're going to spend this fall scouting all those quarterbacks. And yeah, they're not going to want to give up their first-round pick for Jadeveon Clowney. They're not one player away. they're several players away. So yeah, the Dolphins were never a fit for, you know, as far as a trading partner, and there was no real trade discussion. So some of the things that got reported or rumored on Twitter were absolutely false or exaggerated.
Certainly, yeah. Let's be honest, it wouldn't be the first time that that's happened on Twitter, let's be perfectly honest, especially when it comes to the NFL. So obviously, we've seen a few players go down the last couple of weeks. Greg Manx, obviously, last week, and Keke Coutee as well. Have you got any updates on either of them?
They won't play against the Lions. They're not practicing yet. Neither will Nick Martin. Neither will Kahale Waring, who has a concussion. A.J. Moore, who has a concussion. And A.J. McCarron, who messed up his thumb. And, you know, all those guys. It's questionable, even if for Coutee, touch and go, and for him and McCarron, are they going to be back for the first game? Whereas Nick Martin, who has a strained hamstring, he might start practicing next week. So I expect him to make it back for the opener.
And do you think we'll get to see any of Jordan Thomas in the coming week?
He practiced all week, so yes, I think he'll play in the game. He's, you know, recovered from his hamstring injury, and I expect him to play Saturday night.
Excellent news, because he's certainly one of the more promising players. So today, obviously, we heard that Jermaine Kelly...
honestly, he dropped a lot of passes this week. I didn't think he had a good week. He dropped some touchdown passes. I thought he had a rough week, so he needs to do better.
Well, on the plus side, I heard that Darren Fells, the veteran tight end, has had quite a good week. I mean, have you been impressed by him so far?
I think he's been really consistent. Him and Jordan Akins and Jarrell Adams, really, every day they've been good. They've had a lot of days of practice that were consistent, where they caught passes. Jarrell Adams caught a touchdown against the Packers, and they're there every day. They practice. They don't miss practices. So, yeah, they've shown a lot.
Certainly. Now, just to close out, I've got to ask about this. So Matt Khalil, he hasn't been overly impressive against the Packers, in my opinion. I spoke to Seth Payne the other day, who said that Roderick Johnson's looked quite good at left tackle. Where do you think this leaves Julian Davenport at the end of the day? Obviously, a starter last year. He seems to have been all but frozen out.
Right. Yeah, he's not in the plans. He's gone from starting to not even really being the backup. And they're looking at different people. And I thought Rod Johnson has had some good practices and didn't look out of place with the first team offense. On Thursday, Matt Khalil told me he got his foot stepped on recently. He made it through the Wednesday practice, but it was kind of an up and down practice. Didn't do well on Sunday, had another day off. And I just think with Khalil, some of this is rust because he was out last year, and some of it just that I think his body breaks down and he tends to be prone to injuries. So, yeah, I'm concerned about him. I think at some point they need to go to plan B, which is get Titus Howard ready, move him over from guard, and have Kelemete play left guard where he lined up last year. That might be their best lineup.
I'd have to agree with you there, absolutely. So just to finish off then, before the game kicks off tomorrow, do you have a prediction possibly for tomorrow's game for us?
Right, well, it's different. There's no way of predicting. You don't know. How long are they going to play the starters? Are the Texans' backups better than the Lions? Who tries to win? You know, is there any kind of semblance of a game plan? There's an element of luck. I would say predicting preseason football is really an exercise and kind of a waste of time. I wouldn't make any prediction other than you're just trying to get through these things and not have a lot of injuries, and hopefully some of your guys play well. That's what you look for in preseason football, not the score. It doesn't matter if you win.
Absolutely. Let's just hope we don't have another QT Manx incident this weekend. And you've got a busy evening ahead of you. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you once again. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter, @AaronWilson_NFL.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Of course, find me on Twitter @ARWoodNFL. Of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at Texans Wire USA Today. Thank you very much for listening.